Hello, hello, hello. My name is Cortina Jackson, and you are listening to What's on Cortina Jackson's Mind. Well, we're not going to listen to what's on my mind, because I tell you, what was on my mind was when I got an opportunity to talk to this beautiful lady before me. And you know, normally when I do these podcasts, I always get the opportunity to talk a little bit beforehand and just kind of get some insight and, you know, a little bit about the person. But I tell you what, the day that I talked to this wonderful guest, I was so blessed that it didn't turn into information gathering. It ended up being something for my soul, and I was blessed the entire week. And I tell you what, I am excited to introduce you all to my blessing, Miss Pearl Gibson.
Hello.
Oh, we're so happy to have you, and just what an honor it is to be able to talk with you. You have such wisdom and such a beauty about you that it truly is a blessing. And I believe, you know, the things we're going to talk about that's just going to be normal conversation is going to turn into something that's going to just be beautiful and bless people. So thank you very much. Thank you. Well, we're going to jump into this and learn about you because I know about you. I want the world to know everything about you that you're willing to disclose, of course.
Okay. I'm transparent.
Good. Because, you know, the things that you've been through and the things that God has taken you through, I believe it really blessed me. So here we go. You reside currently in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Yes, I do. I think since about 2012 or February 2013, somewhere in there.
Wow. Okay. So you have to tell everyone, what led you to Colorado? Because you weren't always there. Where were you originally?
No, I was in Ellsworth. I think the little town was called Rapid City, South Dakota. Oh. And the Air Force base there is called Ellsworth. So my son and his wife were in the Air Force back then, and they both were being deployed, and they had four small children. And I was residing in Columbus, Georgia with my husband, and we were pastoring two churches at the time. And when my son asked me if I would come out and watch the children, when I asked my husband, he was like, he didn't want me to leave him.
Yeah.
So he retired so that we could move to this little city called Box Elder. If you blink when you're going through it, you'll miss it. But it was an Air Force base there. And so when we were getting ready to leave to go there, God told me that it would be more than just the babysitting that we would do. And so we moved to Box Elder, South Dakota. And we stayed there about 5 or 6 years, but we did start a church. We not only started the church, we saw quite a few people get saved.
Wow.
In that church, God healed people that had diseases. One lady had cancer, and God healed her of cancer. And I saw her a few years ago, and she wanted me to know that she was still cancer free.
Wow.
She told me that her mother stepped in her back when she was a small child and crushed her pelvis. And so one day she came to church and I invited her, and she came, and she did not want me to touch her because she said, I don't want to end up on the floor. I don't know why she thought she would end up on the floor.
Goodness.
And she wanted me to pray for her.
Hmm.
And she said, yes, but don't touch me. And I said, I don't have to touch you to pray for you. And so I began to pray for her. And she left and went in the bathroom. And my daughter-in-law said she came out of the bathroom, and she was telling her that while she was in the bathroom, she jumped up and down, she turned all around, she squat, trying to see if the pain would come back, and the pain was gone.
Oh my goodness.
I saw God move miraculously. You know, people were getting jobs, people were being blessed. I remember one of the young men in the church, he didn't have a job and he needed money. And God told me that it was on a Sunday afternoon, and God said, "You're going to be financially blessed tomorrow," which would have been that Monday. That Monday morning, he got up and found all this money in his house.
Goodness, my God. You know, that God is still in the miracle business.
Yes, it gives me chills. But you know, when we seated for the ministry, we sat around the table and God said we were seated for the ministry. And I still have that bag. And in the bag, it has the seeds that were planted for that ministry, because God said that we will do miracles in that place. And so I saw miracles happen in there. One day we were praying and God told me that one of the ladies wanted a daughter, but she had two boys. And God told her he was going to give her a daughter. But she had two more boys before she had the daughter.
Wow.
And everybody was telling her she had enough children at four. Huh. But her husband came to me and he said, "You know, I trust God." He said, "But, you know, everybody is telling me that I need, you know, we have enough children and I need what I need to do." And I said, "Listen, do you trust God to give you what you asked for?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "Then you will have it the next time that she get pregnant. You will have your daughter." But the baby boy had to be born because God has special things for him to do. So he had to be here. Now, if she had had the little girl, the other children wouldn't have been here. There's purpose for them. And so, but God did give them their daughter. One day we were in they call this chicken place. It's really, really popular. And I saw this lady come in and she had four boys and a girl. Huh. And in my spirit said, "That's Candace." And so when I went back to the table, I said, "You know, the Lord said that was you with the four boys and the daughter. And the daughter was the baby." And she just laughed.
Oh.
So, yes, she has her four boys and her daughter.
Wow.
And and you know how we got to Colorado Springs was one day out of the blue, God said to me, it was never out of the blue for God. He said to me, "We're going to be moving to Colorado Springs." I told my husband we were moving to Colorado Springs, and he said, "God didn't tell me that."
Right.
But let me tell you, God did have to tell him that, and we moved to Colorado Springs because nothing he tried to do worked. Absolutely nothing.
Right.
We came here, he got a job here, and everything. We went back to South Dakota, and he was going to work in South Dakota. And I said, "But you're looking for a job in South Dakota when God said we're moving to Colorado Springs." Mm. And that job didn't last a month.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It didn't, you know? And so we ended up moving to Colorado Springs. And one day when we got here, we got out the car at McDonald's and I looked around and I seen all these giants. And I said, "God, I see all these giants." They were just like standing all around, you know? And God said, "But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world."
Yes.
And I was a little anxious when I got out of the car and I seen all the giants. And I, at the time, I did not understand what God was trying to tell me about this place.
Hmm.
But later on, I realized that there are many, many giants here and they're not of the good kind.
Right.
And but, you know, God gave me comfort because he said, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." And when I got here, I got here in February. I had a heart attack in June. I was in this church preaching for Father's Day. And I had a heart attack in the pulpit.
Oh my goodness.
About a year after that, I had a small bowel obstruction and that almost took me out. I stayed in the hospital for 32 days. I went in rehab for another 30 days. I went to my daughter's house for I don't know how long because I had to wear a womb vac for about 4 or 5 months.
Oh.
And then after that, I found out that I had blood clots and then I had that to deal with. And then I had to have back surgery. Then I had to have cervical spine surgery. But none of it kept me from doing the ministry and none of it kept me from doing what God had put on my heart to do. Because as long as I have breath in me,
yes,
no matter what happens to the body, I'm not worried about what happens to the body. I'm worried about what happens to the soul. See, man can do a lot of things to the body, but they can't touch the soul.
Yes, yes.
I don't fear what man can do to me. Yes. I fear what God can do to me.
Oh my goodness. And I think they had told you that you were, even the doctors had given up on you and told you you would die. And you know, just your resilience that you didn't let this set you back or stop you. You kept the faith. And I say that because a lot of people, now you've told me about the many surgeries you went through. And people, you know, when especially in their pain and affliction, after a while, you just give up. Like, where are you? I don't even believe you're there to let me go through such torment. What kept you?
But you know, the thing for me was, all these surgeries that I had prior was because I was having problems and I went to the doctor and the doctor told me I had a tumor. And I said, okay. He said, we're going to go in and remove the tumor and you'll be fine. And I said, okay. Well, I went in the hospital and he left me bleeding inside for 3 days.
Mm.
And my blood count was 34 on Friday and it was down to 16 on Sunday afternoon.
Oh,
I was bleeding to death and all the blood was in my abdominal area. And so, but let me tell you, that Saturday evening, I was having a lot of pain and I called the nurse and they just turned my light off. I called the nurse, she cut my light off. And I had to go to the bathroom and I was in so much pain. I fell out the bed trying to get help for myself. One lady told me while I was in there, pretending to be sick, that my husband gonna find him somebody else. One nurse told me that I was pretending because there was nothing wrong with me. And she was gonna move the lady that was in the room with me that had the same surgery I had, but she was doing just fine. And she told me, she said, but I'm not gonna let them move me out of here because if they move me out of here, you won't get any help.
Oh,
that
Lord.
Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, my pastor came to visit and he asked me what I wanted. But let me tell you this, that Saturday evening, there were two ladies came around to my room. A dark-skinned lady and a light-skinned lady, and they were big, big, tall women. They came and took me to the restroom. They asked me, what can they do for me? And I said, I really need to go to the restroom. They picked me up, took me to the restroom, one under each arm. And I was talking to them on the way to the restroom, and I said, one of the ladies asked me, what do I want God to do for me? I said, I want them to find out what's wrong, because something is wrong with me. And so she said, well, and the other lady said to me, they will know, just like that. She said, they will know. And I remembered that when my pastor came at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon to see me. And he asked me, what did I want God to do? We were getting ready to pray. I said, you know, one of the nurses asked me that last night, what I wanted God to do for me. And I said, I want the doctors to find out what's wrong with me because something is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, the two ladies, when I was trying to tell the nurse about them, she said, there's no such people as that working on the floor.
Oh my goodness.
They didn't have any such people working on the floor.
Oh,
and I said, are you sure? Because they came in the room and they got me and they took me to the restroom. And she said, no, ma'am, we don't have two such people working here in the evening.
Oh, wow.
We don't even have two such people working here at all. But that Sunday evening, they found out that I was bleeding inside. and they put me in intensive care. They had to give me 6 pints of blood just to take me back to surgery.
Wow.
In intensive care, the doctor stood at the foot of my bed and told me that we just have to pray that I make it through the night, because if they try to take me back to surgery now, I would die on a table. And I turned to the window. There was a window in there, and they had the bed rails pulled all the way up. And I remember reaching into the bed rail, and I said, "Lord, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid, but who's going to take care of my children?" Because my children were 1, 2, and 3, and 5 years old. And that Monday morning, they took me back to surgery. They stopped the bleeding. I caught a staph infection. Everything scarred over. They couldn't get my blood pressure down. I was in critical condition. And when the doctor came around and asked me how I slept, I said I would have slept fine if they had left me alone. They were messing with me every 15 minutes. He just shook his head and just walked out. God just gave me so much comfort. Even though they didn't expect me to live, I felt fine. You know, I wasn't having a lot of pain. I was really, really sick. Yes. But I didn't feel like I was really, really sick, you know, because my heart and mind was on the Lord, and He just kept me in that perfect peace. And so from that surgery, I had 17 bowel surgeries trying to correct what they did. Wow. They took off so much of my bowel that right now I only have enough of my small bowel to live on, because this last time they sectioned five pieces on my bowel. I had my sigmoid colon is removed. I've had one of my ovaries embedded in my colon. And I've had all these surgeries to try and correct, you know, the mistake.
Yes.
That they made. And so, but over the years, I'm not bitter toward God, because if it were not for Him, I don't believe I would be where I am today.
No.
Because in my suffering, it just made me dig in. In my suffering, it brought me closer to the Lord, because I had nowhere else to go. I had nowhere else to go but to Him. And I stayed before Him.
Yes.
And in that staying before, God was just blessed. I remember a girl told me one time, she says, "I need you to pray with me because my mom says she's going to hurt somebody." And I just fell on my knees and prayed, asked God to just confuse her and bring her home. She walked through the door about 5 minutes later, and she says, "I got so confused, I had to come home. I couldn't find anybody."
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Oh, you know, it had got to the place in my life when I pray, I expect God to move.
Yes.
I do. I just expect God to move, because He has proven to me over the years, you know, how do we have faith in someone? It's that we trust them to do what they say.
Right.
You know, and I trusted God over the years because He's been faithful to me. And I feel like this, I don't like the consequences. I go out and do something, you know, there's consequences in everything we do.
That's right.
And I don't want to suffer the consequences of it, so I don't do it. And I feel like because God has blessed me so much that if I do something, you know, it'll be harder on me.
Yes.
Because of the blessings that He has bestowed upon me. Because, you know, much is given, much is required.
Yes.
I believe that God saved me for such a time as this. I truly do.
Yes.
And I believe that I'm in Colorado Springs for such a time as this. I found out that being in Colorado Springs, there are witches here. There are warlocks here. There are lots of evil here. There's a lot of injustice here. And, you know, one day I was talking to the Lord, you know, and I said, you know, all these churches, there are so many churches here. And I, you know, when you have a conglomerate of people, a lot of people. And you would think that all these people come together and pray, praise and fast, that something will happen, you know, that things will move, you know. You see people that's doing all these awesome things, but things stand the same. I mean, you're doing these awesome things, but they're such in like one place. Why we can't all get together, the ones that say we truly love the Lord and truly live for Him, and come against all this evil in the world today? Because, you know, the enemy is running ragged. He is just running ragged over this place.
Yes.
We have all this evil going on in the world today. And I, you know, this is just my feeling, and mm-hmm. I just feel like that even myself, I feel like I wasn't praying enough, I wasn't doing enough. It seems like, you know, we say we can't do anything, but don't tell me we can pray. Prayer moves God, and prayer changes things. So if we come together and we have a corporate prayer, I believe things will change. You know,
I
believe we could call some of this evil unto our feet. Because how is it that we have all these Christians that are supposed to be in this world and all these churches that are supposed to be preaching salvation and Christianity and God and all this, and all this evil is running rampant? I don't get it.
Right.
I don't understand it. I truly don't. Because the Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 2,000 to flight.
Yes.
Can 1,000 people put it? Because, you know, God's math is not like ours.
No.
One can put 1,000 and two can put 10,000. So
yes.
If all of us come together and pray about the evil and the injustice in this world, just in Colorado Springs, just for the people here in Colorado Springs, how God will move.
Yes.
We come to church, we have good church, and then we leave, and then we don't come together again to Bible study, and
then we leave,
and then we come back to church again, and then we leave. What are we going to do outside there?
That's right.
What are we going to do outside there? Ministry is outside. It's not in the church. It's outside the doors.
Mm.
We are supposed to be the church reaching out in the world. That's who we are supposed to be.
Yes.
To the people, so many people out there just waiting to be told about the goodness of God.
That's been lost. I don't know what's happening. I think I shared with you even here in Dallas how, yes, we're surrounded by many, many churches here, yet it seems like the murder rate has gone up tremendously. Like you said, the injustices. And I shared with you how I was praying one night on my balcony. It was about 2:00 in the morning, and I began to pray. And God showed me a black cloud over the Dallas area. And He showed me how witches and these warlocks, like you were saying, these different ones were literally praying for death and mayhem over the city. And I could almost see it as a vision that there was this black cloud. And as soon as they prayed and this black cloud went over the city, murder and police shootings and killings and gang. It's been so much here in the Dallas area. And I said, you know, I'm praying here. And then in a little bit, I'm gonna go get in the bed. I'm gonna pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us. And then, you know, we don't pray. Sometimes these people pray for hours, for days.
Yes.
They go into hospitals. They go into everywhere and pray for death.
Yes.
And we're so tired. You know, we have so much going on. And yes. Same with you.
You know, God told me this, you know, that He called us to be ambassadors. Mm. You know, we tie ourselves down with a lot of things.
Yes.
We tie ourselves down with children. We tie ourselves down with our husbands. We tie ourselves down with our jobs. You know, tie ourselves down with our wives. But God called us to be ambassadors. And we say we put God first, but where do we put God in the midst of all of that?
Right.
Where do we put, you know, we say we don't have time in the morning. We get up and we're running late and we got the children, we got this, we got that, but we're supposed to give God the first fruits. So when we get up early in the morning and we give God, if we get up early in the morning and just give God what belongs to Him,
yes.
the time that He requires of us, you know, because, you know, God will fix the rest of our day. You know, yes. He will make all these things that we are in need of. If we would do what God say do, He will fix all of that. All of that, our day will go so much better and so much smoother if we would get up in the morning and pray and ask God even to set our day, you know, for His glory.
That's right.
You know, our days will go so much better. I know when I get up in the mornings and I'm praying and I'm talking to the Lord, you know, sometimes I fall asleep there talking to Him, and my day goes so much better. It's like everything, like I have time for everything, like everything moves like it's supposed to. I remember the things I'm supposed to remember. Uh-huh. You know, it's like God just set the tone for my day.
That's right.
You know?
Do it.
When I get up in the mornings and I don't have time to pray, or I'm late there because I'm lazy, and I talk to Him, you know, in the bed, and then I'm dragging up, and that's, what is that?
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking about me now, because I know God has done some awesome things in my life. Awesome.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes I still feel that I need to get up in the morning and give Him my first fruit.
Yes.
I truly do.
Yeah.
Because I believe that that's His, and that He can tell me what it is that He need me to do. But if I'm all busy in the middle of the day, God can't speak to me because I'm too busy with all this other stuff in my head.
Exactly.
And even if He didn't have time to do anything, because I've already piled all this other stuff on me until I don't have the time. And so one day though, for real, God told me, He says, the enemy is running ragged in this place.
Mm.
And I stopped in my tracks and I thought to myself, Lord, and what are we doing? Because are we afraid?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We can't say that we don't have what we need, because God gave us what we need. We just don't use it.
Right.
Are we afraid to use it? Are we afraid to come against? What if God is for you, what is there for you to fear?
That's right.
I feel like, you know, some of us don't want our lives interrupted. You know, we are happy with the three cars and the big house and we just don't want to. We got the good job and
mm-hmm.
we got the good education, but we don't realize that without God, none of this stuff would be possible.
That's right.
The Bible says God give us health to make wealth.
And right.
So, without that, we wouldn't have it. And the Bible says that all good things come from God. All good things come from Him. So the things that we have that we say are good, we say, well, I got out and worked and made that, but God made it possible for you to be able to do that.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But yet we don't give Him enough praise. The Bible says He wants to inhabit our praise.
Mm.
So we just don't give Him enough. I remember one day I was praising God so hard, I was sweeping the floor.
Mm.
And I was talking to the Lord, and I got to praising Him, and that song was on my heart, and I was just praising God. And I had to throw that broom down, and I was shouting all over the floor. But you know, you can't shout these days. You got to sit on... perfectly correct, you know.
Right.
Correct. And you can't sometimes we have a problem raising our hand. You know, we want to raise our hand and we
uh-huh.
just sit here.
Yeah.
Even that's a praise, you know.
Yes.
That's a praise. Throw both hands up. That's a praise.
Right.
If we were to come together and just do what the words say, God would truly bless us. He would bring some of this evil under subjection. He will move. God will move.
Yes.
I truly believe that. I truly believe it.
I do too. Oh, gosh.
It is so awesome that, and I told God one day, I said, Lord, I know You saved me for a reason. One day when I was at my daughter's house after I had that surgery, and
uh-huh.
found her, and I had to, because they couldn't sew me up because I had that surgery. I stayed in intensive care for almost 3 weeks.
Mm.
They had to leave me open. And so they had the wound back on me. And I got up one morning and we were going to church, because even in the, in, I call it the nursing home, but it's rehab. Uh-huh. It's still a nursing home. But my husband would come and pick me up and take me to church.
Hmm.
Because I had to go to church. I had to, he would get the wheelchair and wheel me in there, and then I'd spend my time, and he'd take me back to the nursing home, and the next Sunday he'd get permission and he'd wheel me back to church. I don't stay out of church, and anybody know me know I don't stay out of church, because every opportunity I have, I'm praising God. That's yes. At work, at play, wherever I'm at, I'm praising God. My daughter told me one time, she said, oh, I should have known. You get in a corner, you talk. And then I said, yeah, but I'm talking about the Lord. She said, and I knew he was coming up.
Oh, goodness.
I told her one day, and I didn't know how to answer this question. She said to me, Mom, she said, you know, I just want to have a mom. I just want to talk to my mother.
Hmm.
And I didn't quite know what to do with that.
Hmm.
I was telling her, now this is what she said, everything I was telling her was God this and God that and God that. She said, I just want to have my mom.
Hmm.
And I looked at her and I said, your mother and that woman is the same.
Hmm.
I can't separate her. I have been saved since August 21st, 1977.
Wow.
And wow. God has been good to me. Let me tell you, he has been good to me. You know, it's like this. When you're in a relationship with someone,
mm-hmm.
the more time you spend, the more you know of them.
Yes.
The quality of time you spend, the better you get to know them.
Mm.
And so the time that I spend with the Lord, it's more than not.
Yes.
And then I feel like I don't spend enough.
Yes.
When my husband and I got married, my husband said to me, you act like you cheating on God or something. He said, I'm your husband.
Oh.
Because I wanted to always, I said, hold on a minute, I'm spending time with God. I would always say that, I'm spending time with God. Just a minute, when I'm spending time with God. Pearl.
Wow.
I'm your husband. Oh. And God gave you to me. So I know he wants you to spend some time with me. I didn't know what to do with that.
Goodness.
I did not know what to do with that. And let me tell you, I had prayed. Now this is something I prayed for. Now we mm-hmm. have to be careful what we pray for.
Right.
Or really pay attention to what we pray for. Because I wanted a husband that would pay me some attention, that would spend time with me, you know,
wow.
that would love me enough, that want to spend time with me. And
yes.
he gave me just that. And then now, those times when I want to be with God all by myself,
uh-huh.
I remember what I prayed for.
That's
because
true.
He is so attentive. He's a touchy-feely person. He's lovable, and he loves spending time with me. And that's one of the things that's what I asked God for, and that's what yeah. God gave me. Now, I wouldn't have chose my husband for me, but God chose him for me, because God knew what was best for me.
That's right.
And I was willing to let God choose him for me.
Oh, that's good.
Sometimes, you know, we want what we want. You know, the heart
That's
wants
right.
what it wants.
Yes.
But the Bible says you can't trust it because it's deceitful.
Mm.
So sometimes we call ourselves in love and how the heart just set us up for failure.
Oh, gosh.
We're so in love with this person and all of this, and come to find out the person is no good for us at all.
That's very true. Very
you know?
True. I'm a witness.
And so we have to trust God. When God brought my husband into my life, I told God, it's okay, Lord, if I have a husband or not, it's okay with me. And God said, I need a covering. I needed a covering for the ministry that was in me. I needed a covering. So he was a pastor at the time, and he was Oh my gosh, he was so big, arms big like this, you know, big, big. He lift weights and all that.
Uh-huh.
I weighed maybe 118 pounds.
Oh goodness.
Look, and I wore a pain pump for 9 years.
Wow. Wow.
And one day we were in prayer and God told me the pain pump was coming out. And the reason is because I felt like when I had to make a choice about getting the pain pump, I was in so much pain.
Uh-huh.
But I was praying and asking God to heal me.
Right.
And so the pain was so bad. I said yes to the pump, and then I felt guilty because I felt like I didn't wait to give God. You know, I felt like I didn't wait on God,
yes.
You know, even when it was hurting like that. And then, so I wore that pain pump for 9 years.
Wow.
And when I met my husband, I had it. And he was like, what is a pain pump?
Hmm.
And I said, it's inside my body. How do they feel it? They have this needle that they have to make sure they put it right in the hole of the pump with the medication.
Goodness.
And one time the catheter came undone.
Oh.
And it stuck in my spine and it's still in there. And so,
oh my goodness,
I had to get it reconnected because I was in a lot of pain, and I kept saying the pain pump is not working. And so they kept upping the medication, but it was just going into my skin.
Yes.
And so the doctor said, well, we're going to have to take you and get some x-rays and find out what's going on. Well, they put me in front of this imaging machine and he said, oh, that's your problem. My catheter had come undone from the pump. So the medication weren't going into my spine like it was supposed to be. And so, but the catheter was embedded in my spine and they just clipped it off. It's still in there. They wouldn't move it because they said that it would be more surgery, you know, more invasive surgery. So at times it gave me a lot of problems, but they reconnected the pump and then I could get some relief. But you know, I didn't know how he was going to take it when I told him I had a pain pump and
right.
But that didn't matter to him, you know. Aww. It did not matter. He was very, let me share this with you. One day we were going to get coffee.
Uh-huh.
And he was trying to help me get into the truck. And I wasn't used to that. I'm used to get myself in the van and out of the van, or in and out of the van. Unless my son, you know, I have a son that's very attentive. He would do that.
Yes.
But he opened the door for me and trying to help me in the truck. And I snatched my arm so I hurt myself. And I was like, what's the matter? Oh, I didn't want him to touch me. I didn't want him to, you know, and he said, I'm sorry. He took his hands off. Aww. And then I felt some kind of way after I got in the truck and I just prayed. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. You know?
Yes, yes.
Because I was by myself a long time. And I felt like I said this to him once we got into the restaurant. I said, you know, I'm really sorry about that, but don't touch me because I'm not your wife and I don't want you to touch me like that. You know, don't put your hands on me like that.
Uh-huh.
So he respected it though. He thought I was a little weird. He thought I was a little weird. And so we went on and had coffee and all that. We talked and I went and visited his church and I would go to Bible study with them and we would go out to dinner and stuff like that. We would sit and talk. And then all day long, my phone would ring. Hello. And it was him.
Mm.
If he wasn't calling me, I was calling him. Because there was something about him. Now, when I first saw him, I was like, no, God, this is not it. This is not it. My mother had this thing. She says that I'm color struck. You heard people say that, how you're color struck.
Uh-huh. You
know? My husband is really light skinned, and I never like light skinned men.
Huh.
Darker skinned men. And so when I met my husband and I looked at him, I was like, oh no. But you know, let me tell you, you cannot judge the book by the cover. You got to read the whole book.
That's right.
Some people try to turn all the way to the back of the pages to read, and then they want to know what happened, you know, so they turn all the way to the back of the book and then they read. But you can't get it all like that. You have to read it page by page by page. And there's a reason for that.
Yes.
I realize that God know me better than I know me.
That's right.
He knew my needs better than I know my needs. And he gave me the best gift for me.
Yes.
We had a beautiful wedding and he paid for the whole thing, whatever I wanted. Yeah. We had a beautiful church ceremony. And, you know, I just, everything that I had always wanted, I had. And then I was kind of worried about being sick all the time.
Yes. You know?
But, you know, God said, I gave him to you for the things that you are in need of. And I gave him to you for the things that he have need, you know.
Yes.
And so we compliment each other.
Yes.
You can take care of. I was sick one time and he picked me up and ran with me. He ran all the way to where I was one time because I got really, really sick. The pump was malfunctioning and it gave me too much medication and it paralyzed me. And so he ran about 3 miles to where I was at.
Oh my gosh.
He told me, he used to go to the gym all the time, and he told me that he had to stay in shape because I may need him to pick me up and carry me.
Oh wow. Oh wow.
People who are waiting on God to bless them, wait.
Wait.
Wait on the Lord. Because you know, the enemy will send you an invitation.
Yes,
he will.
He's sending
you something imitating it, but it's not the real thing.
Yes.
Don't be fooled by that. You know, if you believe that God is sending you someone and you feel like it's not working out and you feel like it's not God, hang in there. Because if you hang in there and you're trusting God, if it's not him, God will let you know. But if it is him, you hang in there. Because at the beginning, I could not see I just couldn't see how that was going to work. And then one day, but he's going to be your husband. Oh my God, I cried.
Oh goodness.
I just cried. I could not tell God that he wasn't going to be my husband. And after God had told me he was going to be my husband no matter what I had to do.
Yes.
I cried because I just could not see it. But yes. God said, wait on me.
Yes.
Wait on me. And I waited. And every God told me, he's saying, your latter years will be greater than your first. Ooh. I am living my latter years.
Oh, wow.
I'm living my latter years. Even with all the pain that I suffer, oh my God, I would not trade for anything in the world. Not anything in the world. I live in a beautiful 5-bedroom home. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 12 rooms in my house.
Wow.
13. I have 13. 13 rooms in my home. That God blessed us with.
Wow.
I don't have to worry about my doctor's appointments because my daughter-in-law, she makes sure that I get there. She takes really good care of me. I just thank God for her. She picks up all my medications because the doctor don't want me driving because of my cervical spine.
Yes.
My arms hurt all the time because I got to have a fourth surgery on my cervical spine.
Oh, man. Goodness.
But God is still good.
Yes, he
God is good.
Yes.
God is good. Even with all the suffering, because it's one thing I know about suffering. it either going to separate you from God or it's going to bring you closer.
Right, right.
And so with me, it has just brought me closer. Mm. Because when I would hurt so badly that I couldn't move, I didn't want to breathe, I would hurt so badly. Goodness. I would just call Jesus, just call on him. Lord, help me. Mm. Help me. Ooh, help me. That would be my prayer. Lord, help me. And I would just lay there and tears would just run from my eyes.
Oh, goodness.
What else would I go but to the Lord?
Yes.
Whom else can help me but God?
Oh.
Who can deliver me but God?
But God.
But God. Let me tell you, though, that when I was at my daughter's house that Saturday morning, I woke up and God said to me, by the time Amaya reaches the age of 3, Shell will have a baby boy. I sat up on the side of the bed. And I said to my husband, guess what the Lord just said to me? He said, what? He said, by the time Amaya reaches the age of 3, Michelle will have a baby boy. And he said, you're going to tell her? I said, yeah, we're getting ready to go to church.
Mm.
So on the way to church that morning, she and I were sitting in the back, and her husband and my husband was in the front. They were driving, talking. And I said, God gave me a word for you this morning. She said, what is it? And she got real nervous. And I said, what's the matter? She said, I don't know why I want to hear this because it's making me nervous. And I said, God said, by the time Amaya was a little girl.
Mm.
By the time Amaya reaches the age of 3, then you're going to have a baby boy. Well, Amaya's birthday was January. Her birthday is on January 27th.
Uh-huh.
He was born October 17th.
Oh my goodness.
And she and I was in Walmart one day. She and I were in Walmart and she had all this medicine in the cart. And I said, what are you doing? And she says, I have a cold and I need to get some medication. And she was just putting all these vitamins and different things. And I was taking it out. She was putting it in and I was taking it out. I said, why don't you go see the doctor first?
Mm.
And she said, why? I said, well, just go see the doctor first. You're taking all this medication. You don't know why. And then she said, do you know something I don't? I said, I don't think so. And I said, do you know something I don't? And she said, no. So we went home that evening. Mm. And she called me to the room and she said, come here. So I went in the room and she had this little stick, this little pregnancy stick thing.
Uh-huh.
And she said it turned, that the two lines came up before it ever finished processing.
Oh, oh goodness.
Oh my God. And then God said to me that she's, that he gave her the son last. Because all she ever wanted was a son. And when I said that to her, she just stood there and looked at me. She said, well, I didn't. I only wanted one child and she wanted a boy.
Oh.
But I dreamed her second child. And God gave me to give her to tell her when her first child was gonna be born. And she was getting ready to have surgery so that she could have a baby. And She was already pregnant. She was already, the doctor said, you won't be able to have any children if you don't have this surgery. And I said, that's not so, because God said at the appointed time, you're going to have that child. And while she was on the phone with me and we were finalizing my trip up there for when she had her surgery, The doctor was telling us she was already pregnant. Tell me God is still doing. God
yes,
is still,
he is.
Still blessing. He is still, see, people just don't realize. I had a person tell me one time that God did miracles a long time ago.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's not true. God is still doing miracles.
Right.
Because I'm a walking miracle.
Yes.
I am a true walking epistle, testimony for the Lord. That's who I am, because I believe that's why God saved me. I truly do. So that I could be a mouthpiece for him. I truly do. I had people tell me, how can you serve a God who let you suffer that way? God did not, he did not bring this suffering upon me.
Tell it, because I'm glad you said that. Yes, tell that.
God did not bring this suffering upon me, but I have him to help me to go through it. I would not, where would I be without him in the midst of all that I go through? Yes. Where would I be?
Right.
I'd rather go through it with him than to be without him and not. Because let me tell you, in my life, I truly believe if I have not had all the suffering, God wouldn't be able to use me the way he does.
Yes.
I wouldn't be where I am in him. I think that with all the suffering, it has just rooted and grounded me in him, because it caused me to really dig into the word, to truly see what it says.
Yes.
You know, and to get that word and to bring it unto myself and to receive that word for me.
Mm.
And it has truly worked in my life.
Oh.
I'll never forget. God said, I'm going to put healing in your hands. And one day I went to pray for this girl and she had a cold. I went to pray for her because she was sick. Uh-huh. And when God said, take off all your clothes, she took all her clothes off, all of my hands, and I had some oil that I prayed over. And I was you know, all in her body and praying for her. And there was a huge mole about an inch long on her inner thigh.
Huh.
I did not know that that thing was bothering her so bad that she said when she walked, it burned so bad because it rubbed against her leg. And it was about every bit of an inch and a half, I'll say. It was long, because when I rubbed my hand over, I was like, oh. And then God said, curse it. And I cursed it in the name of Jesus. Well, this was on a Wednesday night. Went on the Bible study. Saturday morning, she said she got in the shower and she was taking a shower and she realized she didn't hit it. It wasn't there.
Oh my goodness.
And it's miracle. Still not there too.
Wow.
It wasn't there. God moved. Don't tell me God's not doing miracles.
He's doing miracles.
Yes, he is. You know, if you don't believe, you cannot receive what you cannot believe.
Yes.
You can't even receive God if you don't believe he could do those things. He can't do those things for you if you don't believe he can.
Yes.
You know, you can have what you can believe. If I tell you that God will do these things for you, and go to the word and open the word and say, look, and show you in the word where God said that these things are possible, that all things are possible if you believe in him, well, and you still don't believe it because you don't see it, that's not faith.
Yes.
Faith says, I believe it even though I don't see it, but I still believe it.
Yes.
You don't have to have faith for that you can see.
No.
You don't need faith for what you can see. You need faith for those things you cannot see.
Cannot see, exactly. Oh, God.
So, I know he has done some awesome things, and God has done some awesome things in my life.
Yes.
He has.
Oh, and I appreciate you sharing those, because sometimes people, you know, I think a lot of people have neglected their prayer life because they see, like you said, that Satan is running rampant and things are happening. And they're thinking, well, God, where are you in all of this? And sometimes it's not until we really slow down. It took me slowing down. God had to bring me home. I got so sick. Mm-hmm. I ended up having a seizure and couldn't do anything else. And it was only then that I finally looked around. And when I began to look around, everything, like, okay, remember you got this? Remember when you didn't have money and you didn't know where it was? Only then I began to see, oh my goodness, God has been doing miracles for me for a long time. But I was so busy looking for the big thing and looking for money to rain down out of heaven and looking for, and I missed so many times that my life was spared, and so many times when I was without and God provided.
So
busy and lots
of
God. God is still in the miracle working
business. Oh yes, he
we
is
must,
you know,
trust in him. Yes
you know, he has to He has to sometimes move us out of a place where we're at.
Yes.
Because sometimes that place consumes us.
Yes.
You know, we are consumed by the things that goes on there. Sometimes God has to move us out of that place. And sometimes we're in that comfort zone. We're so comfortable where we're at that God has to move us and make us uncomfortable so we'll seek him. Because
yes.
If you feel like you have everything, you don't need him. Then
right.
You need what God can give you that you can't get from anywhere else. And so salvation only comes through God. Peace only comes through God. You
yes.
will not have peace in this world because Jesus said he did not come to bring peace to this world. He did not come to bring peace here. He came to separate fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. And because when you accept Christ and the other people in your home don't, aren't you separated?
That's right. Yes.
You are separated, and husbands and wives and children, you're separated.
Yes.
Because, you know, you have some people who live together well. I did for almost 18 years. I lived in the house, you know, with my husband, and he was not saved.
Yes.
It was hard. It was truly hard. But God told me this one day. He said, I would give you what you need to stay, and I would give you what you need to leave.
That's
so
right.
So it was up to me.
Uh-huh.
It was up to me. And so, but I decided to stay until all this other stuff happened. And that was my out. And I took it. And I don't regret it, not one day.
Yes.
Because it's hard. Light and dark has no communion at all. Has no fellowship at all. And when you're living in all this darkness, you cannot see.
Wow.
You need some light in order to see.
Wow.
Jesus is the light of the world.
Yes.
And when he light that candle, don't put it under a bushel. Send it out where the world can see it.
The world needs to see it.
So many of us, we light our candle and we walk around like we're hiding it under a bushel or something. But
yes.
we say we have light, but you can't see it, or it's so dim that you gotta really, really look to see it.
Yes.
And you know, see, the Christ in us should shine so the
yes.
world can see Jesus in us. That light in us should shine so bright that
yes.
when we speak to someone, they should be able to know that God resides there.
Uh-huh.
You know, or to know that you the experiences, the things that you experience with the Lord gives you position.
That's right. Yes.
Without those experiences, you have no conversation.
Wow. Oh, yes.
So, when you hear people talk about the Lord and there is no change, there is no process. There is no progress. There is no, then there's not the Lord. Because when Jesus comes, he always made a change. There's a change. Wherever God goes, there's a change.
That's
nothing
right.
stays the same. Nothing. Nothing stays the same. Wherever God is. And wherever God is, there's light.
Yes.
There is no darkness where he resides. None at all.
Wow.
Because he is.
Oh, gosh. Oh, well, we're going to wrap this up. You have truly been a blessing. And I'm just so glad, you know, you really gave us a lot of insight. You know, that God is still in the miracle business. You know, people who are going through pain, there are a lot of people who will be listening who are just going through a lot of tragedy and not just pain, but their finances, and they're estranged from their children, and they have children who may be incarcerated. People are going through all kind of things. And you know, we sometimes we go through these things and we don't speak about God because, for one, we feel sometimes outnumbered. We don't feel like anybody wants to hear about God. Sometimes
yes.
we feel ashamed. we get on the social media and some people won't even say, I just thank God. They don't want to let people know that they're affiliated with God. They'll go home and say, thank you, Jesus, but won't say it, you know. But it is, you're right, it's time for our light to shine because people need to know that God is real. Forces are very real. And we are not outnumbered. Yeah. You know, we as godly people and Christian people, we must get on our knees if we want change to happen, if we want change to come. We've got to return to our knees and pray.
Yes. Before we go, though, I would like to mention this, and I won't take long. I have a son that's incarcerated here in Colorado. He's been in there now for about 2 years for something that he did not do. He it's hard because it's you know, I'm like this. When my kids get in trouble, I'm the first one to say, you know, you did this, so, you know, you have to take the consequences for it.
Yes.
I'm not going to uphold you in your wrongness, but this was not about him. This was about his wife. Mm. They were working at this school, and the mother got mad at her because she was telling the girl about Christ.
Oh.
And the girl came back and was talking to her about, was it wrong for her mother to have a wife, a woman for a wife? And so, of course, my daughter-in-law told her it was wrong and all these things. And the mother got so mad at her that she told her she was going to get her. She said, I'm going to get you for this. I will get you for this. But she never thought in a million years that she would go after her husband.
Oh, wow.
She had this little 12-year-old girl to accuse her husband of attempting to touch her. Now, the day that she said that he was supposedly had done this, they weren't even in town.
Hmm.
The DA asked the judge if he could move the dates, and the judge said yes. He allowed it. Now, he took it from the 12th to the end of the month. Because he said the girl probably couldn't remember the date. You tell me if somebody tried to touch you, you're not going to remember the date.
Oh, wow.
And you're going to go tell your friends or somebody that somebody did this to you or somebody. Somebody would know about it other than you. Well, none of the little girls knew about this at all. Not even her friends. Nobody knew about this. So he gets a lawyer and he goes to court. And then for 2 years now, he was out on probation. And then they finally went back to court. And the first lawyer he had to fire because he was conversing with the enemy. It took them five DAs for them to bring this case to court. Because everybody kept declining. They didn't want it. But then they found somebody who would do anything they asked. This man, they changed the tape, the interview tape, they changed it because we have the original tape.
Wow.
They changed it. The detective told him that she's going to get him any way she can.
Oh, wow.
That's what she said. That's on the tape. And then when you're sitting there looking at the tape, you can see all the glitches in it, you know, where they've changed it. And then she sat at the table with the DA and she helped choose the jurors.
What?
Yes, she did. She helped choose the jurors. But you know, that is nothing. Let me tell you.
Oh, that's the enemy.
The lawyer that he paid all this money for, hundreds of thousands of dollars to. Mm. I'm sitting in court and I'm listening at this man, and he get to where he didn't have any questions to ask. He just asked the same questions over and over and over. Now, wow. He's supposed to be one of the third top lawyers here in Colorado.
Wow.
But I could have asked better questions, and I didn't go to school one day to be an attorney.
Mm.
My husband said, where did they get him from? He was bought out.
Yes.
You tell me, you don't have any proof at all. They couldn't find anybody to say that he did anything to this little girl. Now, see, I know my son, and I know he wouldn't have never touched her because she was a little white girl. because he's never dated any white girls. He's never touched any white girls because he don't do white people like that.
Yes.
And that's just the truth. So when they come and told me that, I knew that wasn't true. And plus text messages that they had, they took the wife phone. They took the wife phone and went through it and took the text messages out of it and said they would belong to him.
Oh, wow. Oh.
But it was her. And it says, I'm outside waiting for you. She would go pick the little girl up and take her to the movies. She had a relationship with this little girl. She'd go take her out to eat. She'd go take her, her other little friends would go and they would go shopping and stuff, and she would buy her things, you know. And one day I told her, they came to dinner at my house, and I said, you be careful.
Yes.
Because something's going to happen at that school to tear you all apart. Be careful.
Oh,
because
goodness.
You can get too involved with the children and you know, and their problems. Well, when she told me what the mother said, I said, you need to leave that alone.
Yes.
Well, they gave him, but listen to this. Now, one of the jurors said they found him innocent it was three charges. They found him innocent on the first two charges. But on the third charge, they found him guilty of the pattern of touching the little girl. But she only said he tried to touch her one time. So how is that a pattern?
A pattern. Wow.
Yeah. The juror told his attorney that he didn't understand that word. He didn't know what it meant. Because if he had, he would have never found him guilty.
Oh, goodness.
But when his lawyer took it to the judge said this, well, I just don't believe that he don't believe what that is, and I'm not going to explain it to him again. This
wow.
is my room, and I make the laws. Now, that's what he said.
Wow.
And you know what? Everything that I tell you, I could back it up. Everything. Everything. We have the transcripts. We have the tape. We have the text messages. We have all of that. This place here, I found out that if you are Black and you are a male, and don't let you be educated,
yes.
because you are in for trouble. My son had the first basketball team for Colorado. The first. He lost that. All of his businesses, he lost that. His family went through pure hell.
Yes.
Behind. And the wife, she blamed herself because she was the one who brought the little girl into their lives. But he never had anything to do with the little girl. It was just her.
Oh my goodness.
She was a little girl, straight up and down, had absolutely nothing. No boobs, no butt, no nothing. Just straight up and down. Had the little legging things that you wear.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wear those to school. But she said now he was trying to stick his hand in her pants in the room with a room full of children, because the woman testified that she never left any of the children in any of the rooms by themselves at any time. She testified to that.
Oh boy. Oh my
God. So goodness. And he got 10 years to life. But
10 years for 10 attempted.
Years. Yes.
No proof. Touch. Oh my God.
Absolutely no proof at all. None. Had no witnesses, no nothing. And the classrooms were right next to each other. His classroom was here, and his wife's classroom is right next to her. And the little girl got on the stand and said, can I get a felony for this?
Huh.
For what? Why would you ask that question?
Huh.
Can you get a felony for what? They did so much wrong stuff up in there. We're like, are you kidding me? Did he
allow
that? I mean, it was just so horrific. It was just awful. It was awful.
And
it was just
this awful. Is the thing that's being faced, you know, a lot of mothers, a lot of families are going through this. It's a
yeah.
lot of people are wrongfully accused, you know, based on, oh my goodness, that was just pure evil. Just out of
yeah.
pure evil. And
yes.
your son is facing 10 he's in prison now, 10 to life.
Yes, for trying to turn him dead.
For just trying.
She was a kid. She was a little kid. My son has had basketball teams over the years, girls and boys. He has trained individual girls and boys. Nowhere has no one ever brought him up on anything. My son was a pastor in the church, and wow, he never had any problems out of anybody. He ran his businesses and all this. Nothing until this little girl. And her mother threatened that she was going to get him because, and everything that they bring up that he think is going to clear him, the judge allowed. Everything.
Yes.
Even the fact that the lady at the school, she brought the paperwork there saying that he was not there during that whole week. So it couldn't have been those days. Him and his wife was at a funeral. And the judge said, you know, Your Honor, she may have just forgotten the date, so it will just go with the month. And he just went with it.
Wow.
He just went Just changed the date.
We must pray.
The judge said this. Now, the judge would have been lenient on him, but he told him this. He said, Mr. Lattimore, he said, I'm going to put you in prison for 10 to life so you could think about what you did, because he didn't say he was guilty. And his lawyer said, but he always has maintained his innocence. He said, but I'm going to put him in there anyway so he could think about it. That's what the judge said.
Wow.
That's our beloved judge that we have down here. That he got threatened right after, during the trial. He was threatened that they were going to kill him because there were 5 black boys that were accused of raping a girl, and come to find out the girl was sleeping with all 5 of the boys. And little white girl, she was sleeping with all these little black boys, and they threatened him. And you know, I said, well, this is not going to go well, because they're going to really make a mark of my son because of it. They're going to make an example of him.
Yes.
And that's what they did. And so now we're waiting for the appeal attorney. She told me last year that she had other people that were before him. What attorney do one person at a time? Tell me that. What attorney does that? You know, they work on different cases at a time, sometimes more than that.
Yes.
And she said, well, they had it where she could only, get the transcript May 9th. So it had to be a whole year before she could get it. And she told me, well, as soon as I get the transcript, but she said the time is running out for that and I'll be able to get it. And come to find out, she didn't tell me now that the judge signed for her not to be able to get it for a whole year.
Wow.
I had to find out because it was in the paperwork that was written. Yeah. And I tried to call her. She won't return any of my calls. She won't return any of his wife's call. She's never been to see him, not one time, nothing. Because they know they have made a royal mess.
Yes.
I found out one other thing, that there is nothing in his jacket.
Nothing.
Not a thing. How is that possible?
Yes.
But you know what? I'm praying, because see, these people don't know. God told me this about these people. He said that he had to deal with Pharaoh because Pharaoh thought he was the God of the land. Uh-huh. He thought he was the God. But God said he dealt with Pharaoh, and he's going to deal with them because they're not as powerful. They're not powerful, more powerful than him.
That's right.
And he's going to deal with them.
Yes.
So it was, they really don't know who they put in prison. They really don't know who that boy served. They really don't. But he's in prison right now, preaching. He has church services and things in there. He has a choir group thing going on in there. He has a Bible study going on in there. People have given their lives. people have even changed from wearing the little yellow shirts to the green.
Wow.
God is, you know what? You can't stop anybody when God got it going. You cannot.
That's right. Yes.
You cannot stop the work. You cannot. They tried that with Joseph, put him in prison. What did Joseph do? He got in prison. He was still doing it, wasn't he?
That's right.
Doing it. You can't stop God.
No.
But you know what? It's better for you not to have messed with one of mine. It's better, God said, to put that millstone around your neck and be tossed into the deep than to mess with one of mine.
That's right. That's right.
People don't realize. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You don't understand. You cannot mess with God's people because he will deal with you.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
When God get finished dealing with Colorado,
oh boy,
you're going to know that it was God. You hear me what I say?
Oh, yes. Yes.
No, I told him, I said, God got you while you're in there. God's got you. Because you know, when he first went in, he was afraid.
Yes.
You know, he was afraid. My son has never been in trouble. He was in the Air Force. He retired from the Air Force. He came home with all his PTSD from being over in war and all this stuff. And then all this stuff happened to him.
Lord, Lord.
You know, I thought about all these people walk around here doing all this wrong stuff, and they do, and they spend all of this money to put an innocent man in jail. So many innocent people are coming up now, coming out of prison, that has spent all those years in there for nothing, for something they did not do.
It's a lot. Oh, but God is going to expose. I pray that God is going to expose a lot of wrong. People have for years been getting away with it. People for years have been running cities and running jurisdictions. And this is the time that it's going to be exposed. All wrong that's been done is going to come to the light. So those who are listening, pray. If you can pray for this mother, pray for that son, everyone else who has loved ones incarcerated, and everyone else who's going through, you all, we got to band together to pray. God is about to move.
Yes, he
is. Everyone hearing me, I'm telling you now, God is about to move, and he will have, vengeance is the Lord's. And so we're praying, if there are advocates in Colorado who will look into this case, we would appreciate that. But God already knew the outcome of this. God already did. And God already knew what he was going to do concerning this whole situation and situation in others' lives. So not back down. We will continue to pray, and we will continue to stand fast and believe. And I'm telling you, God is real. He had to show me who he was, but I'm so glad. I'm so glad too that he had mercy, because
amen. But he's a loving God, though. He loves you so much. He does.
Yes, no matter what we've done, He forgives.
Right.
And I'm so glad that he did, because I didn't think I was worthy of it. And thank you, Jesus, that he let me know.
Amen.
You're worthy. Yeah.
Yes. But you know, he said he died for us when we were all yet sinners. So,
yes,
that means a whole lot.
Yes.
Whole lot. When we were dead in our sins, he still died on that cross for us. He still went to the cross for us because he loved us so much. Yes, he did.
You guys, this is Pearl Gibson. I told y'all she was a blessing. And you know, just you know, the things she's touched, she's prayed for a lot of people, she's prophesied to a lot of people, and God is moving. Y'all, please, if you say a prayer tonight, say a prayer for Miss Pearl Gibson and her family and her loved ones and everyone she comes in contact with, in the name of Jesus. We all ask that you touch and agree and pray for her and lift her up. So thank you so much.
Thank
you're a blessing.
So much for having me. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Well, bless you. And those who are tuning in, if you'd like to be on the show, please follow me at What's on Cortina Jackson's Mind. It's on Anchor and Spotify and Breaker and all these platforms. And make sure you tune into my YouTube channel. You can find it at Cortina Jackson. Go to my website at www.cortinajackson.com. Thank you. I love you. And God bless. Thank you.